Hello, church family. I'm Pastor Lance Courtney, and I'm the student ministry director here at North Point Church. What an honor it is to be with you here today, to worship together, and to bring this message. And I want to say a huge thank you to Pastor Steve for allowing me to speak on this particular topic today. And this is a topic that oftentimes we avoid as individuals. This is also a topic today that I'm not here to tell you that I am an expert by any means, but actually I'm going to talk about a topic that I have struggled with most of my life. And I'm blessed to be able to be here today. I'm blessed to be able to talk to you about this and share a little bit of my struggle, to share a little bit of my joy, to share with you also a little bit of how I have overcome in some areas, found ruts and grooves in my life when it comes to this particular area. And as I have continued to try to move forward, even in this, and the topic is health and fitness. And immediately, your sudden urge may be to turn this off, to hit pause or come back to it later when you feel more like watching this or listening to this. But I want to encourage you because, yes, there are ups and there are downs. There are highs and there are lows and there are victories. And of course, there's plenty of defeats that have happened in my life. But as we've kicked off this brand new series called Reentry, we want to take an opportunity to talk about is how can we begin to re-enter, have a re-entry moment when we think about our health and our fitness. I want to look at how can we, in light of what God's word tells us, in light of the season that God has us in right now, how can we begin to look at our physical health and our physical fitness in a more serious light? I want to share with you a little bit of the struggle that I've gone through over the last several years, but also the joy and the perseverance that I've found and how God's word has begun to challenge me and how we can all, even if it's just a little bit, make some subtle pivots and some subtle changes that actually have lifelong benefits for us today. Because right here at the beginning of this series, Pastor Steve asked us a question. He says, do you want to, just like we looked at the children of Israel, they were liberated out of slavery. They were liberated out of the land of Egypt. And the question that we are asked, the question we're still asking and trying to answer is, do we want to go back to Egypt? Right? That was an overlapping question that we ponder and we think about because do we want to go back to the way things really were? And if I'm honest with you, and I want to be, is that there were so many times where I went back to Egypt that even though I had found success here or there in this particular type of health and fitness journey at times, there were times where I went back to old habits. I went back to old ways. I went back to an old self. And that's what we find ourselves in even today when we're saying do we want to go back to Egypt? Do we want to go back to the way things always were, where we were slaves to our calendars and slaves to our schedules and all these things that held us captive before? Do we want to go back to Egypt? Most of us and all of us are saying in our spirit that no, we don't. We don't want to go back to Egypt. We don't want to. Now, there are some things that we would like to have back. Maybe some more freedom. Maybe just being able to do some of the things that we love to do in the communities or around the state or those type of things. But we are adjusting to the new normal. And ultimately, we all have this new opportunity that sits before us to set some new goals, some new strides, and some new patterns, and some new behaviors. Pastor Steve said a phrase, and I don't even know, he didn't mean it for me to be able to use it in this topic, in this talk, but he said a phrase that will actually apply for us today, and I want us to ponder what he said. And this is what he said. He says, you can hold on to what you've gained during this time, or you can let it go. Did you get that? You can hold on to what you gained. And again, as we begin to talk about a very sensitive or touchy subject, even in the church, even amongst Christians, we don't necessarily really like to talk about our health and our fitness levels as much as we should. We want to talk about spiritual disciplines. We want to talk about sin, and we want to talk about righteousness, and we want to stand upon the promises and the principles of God's word. But I do want to remind us is that your physical health and your fitness, not that you have to be elite. This is not about becoming a pro or even an amateur athlete or anything like that. But it is something that we do want to pay attention to and give attention to. And so I'm not an expert here today. No, I'm actually maybe the worst example, because I have struggled, as I said before, and I've struggled about this so much. But not only maybe there's been some weight gain, a little bit, not as much, maybe a few pounds, maybe a lot during quarantine. But you can either hold on to what you gain. Now, it may not just be weight. It could be bad habits. It could be hang-ups. Or even the quarantine or COVID-19 has exposed some weaknesses. Weaknesses in our parenting. Because now we're spending a lot more time with our kids. And now they bother us a lot more. Maybe you've realized that you're not set out to be a homeschool parent during this time. But I want us, as we're preparing for re-entry into our workplaces, into businesses, into our community and across the state, as well as to our places of worship, and even in a couple of months as our students and our kids prepare to re-enter into school again and into school buildings, we have a grand opportunity to start developing some good and healthy habits that could have major benefits for our physical health and elevating our fitness level. I want to challenge us this morning by opening God's word and reading in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be living and holy sacrifices, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is the truly way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. See, ultimately, when we begin to talk about this particular topic, ultimately, you immediately think that you have to rearrange your entire life, rearrange what you're eating and how you're eating and all those things. Yes, there are levels of that do have to, that change has to happen. But the first thing that has to change for every single one of us is changing the way we think. Paul was very correct that we can't continue to mold ourselves and chase after health and fitness, even the way that the world is chasing after it. This is not about trying to live up to an ideal image. This is not about trying to be like somebody you saw on Instagram or social media. No, this is about straining this through God's word and transforming our mind first. Because every single one of us, and myself included, we have to know and we have to be convinced up here first when it comes to this, when it comes especially because we are so often, we are defeated by our thoughts when it comes to our health and our fitness. So we have to let God begin to transform our mind, and then we begin to change our view and how important our physical health is and our physical fitness. Today is not a day of condemnation. I'm not standing on here trying to condemn you, trying to make you feel guilty, whether you're at a particular level or not. That's not the point whatsoever. Hear me. Today, I want today to be a day of encouragement. And I want to be here as a brother in Christ, as a fellow friend, as one of the pastors here at North Point Church to say, you can accomplish it. And you got to start believing it here right? We all have this turning in our heart because we want something. We have, and this is where passion and desire, but guess what controls all those muscles? Guess what? It's our mind. So we got to change the way we think about this first and foremost as we begin to seek God. So I want to encourage you. And again, I'm not one who has got it all figured out. I'm not even here today to tell you what to eat or what to drink or to eat this and not that or stop eating this and stop drinking that. I'm not even here today to give you a workout program or tell you how to get six pack abs. Absolutely not. No. Today, I just want to share a little bit actually of my journey and my story. Just like I said a few minutes ago, this has been an area of my life that I've actually struggled with for a really long time. To be honest, really have struggled with this my whole life. My family wasn't even the greatest example or even the greatest champion for me to even look at. Because you have to realize, I grew up in the South. I grew up in Mississippi. And you know what we do very well in Mississippi? You know what we do very well in the South? We eat good food. And I'm going to put that in some air quotes right now. Good food oftentimes is cheesy and fried with gravy on top of it. That is the good food that I had. I also grew up eating tons of Mexican food and lots of tacos and lots of enchiladas and those kind of things. And yes, I've learned a lot along the way and along the process. And even through my youth and even into my adult years, I've played a lot of organized sports. But oftentimes, I've always just been a big guy. But now as I've gotten older, I've been married for a while, as my kids are continuing to get older, I have seen over the last decade plus in years that there is an importance that I do need to give and pay attention to my health. Especially now as my kids are teenagers and trying to help them understand the importance of that and leaving that legacy instilled in them. But again, I have struggled in this area for a really long time. And there are so many moments where I have not taken my health as seriously as I should have. And just about 13 years ago was an example of that, to where this was right after my middle daughter was born, Maddie. And I put on the sympathy weight as my wife got pregnant. I also put on some weight. But I was all the way back up to my football playing weight, which was close to 290 pounds. But guess what? I was no longer playing football. And so why was I that big? I wasn't moving the heavy weights. I wasn't in the weight room. No, I was making poor choices. And so I realized even then, I knew some changes began to happen and I began to do some things and I got my weight down to about 225 pounds. And for many years, that's kind of where I circled. That's kind of where I began to get into a comfort zone. And once again, I'm not here to tell you today that if there's an ideal weight for you, and this is not about that whatsoever. Again, I just want to share my story with you. But as I began to stay around that weight for a few years, I really began to also get convicted just 6 years ago that I was like, you know what? I need to raise the level here and raise my awareness of my health and my fitness. And so even 6 years ago, as I yo-yoed for many years in my dieting, in my eating, and in my fitness and in my health levels, I knew that I needed to pay closer attention. And then even 3 years ago, in 2017, I started the year at my lowest weight that I had ever started the year, right? Because we all get jazzed up and we get energized and we're like, this is the year, right? Raise your hand. You're in your home and maybe your spouse or your kids are elbowing you or looking at you right now, because we all make those statements that this is going to be my year. And then things happen and we get derailed and we get sidetracked. But in 2017, for me, just 3 years ago, I started with gusto, and I was tuned in, and I was dialed in, and I would go at that year, and I would be able to get my weight down to 205 pounds in 2017. It was actually, in fact, I was asked by Pastor Steve to even then, while we were still in the high school, to talk about health and fitness, and we were doing a series called Transformed, and I would be convicted, and I would stay true to it, and I was very dedicated. I was very determined during that time. But just like always, just like we asked the question, do you want to go back to Egypt? I would fall back into bad habits and bad patterns, and I would fall back into comfort, and I would not give the serious attention to my health and fitness that I needed to continue to do. And it was from about a little more than halfway through 2017, and really even for the next 2 years, I would go into a downward spiral. I would go into a bad cycle of eating junk and fueling my body the wrong way. And the sad part is I knew it. There were times where I was still working out hard, but I wasn't eating well. And this may be a phrase that you're very familiar with. It's that you can't out-exercise a bad diet. Now, the word diet, when I say it just there, it does not mean a particular program. No, diet is the food you eat. It's what you're fueling your body with, right? Because we are, we need fuel. We need to be able to run. We need to be able to operate. And it was over that time that I was not fueling my body with the right types of food and energy. And I was putting all this stuff into my body. And the sad part is I knew I was not. See, I knew I wasn't being intentional. I knew I wasn't giving the right focus and attention. And I was allowing my body to break down. And can I tell you that it wasn't just my physical body that was beginning to break down, but it was also my mental capacity. It was also my spirit that began to break down. And I began to go into a level of depression and depressed-like mindset, and even my demeanor and even how I responded to people wasn't even out of joy or in a good spirit. I began to be very short. And it was last October, right around the time that I was turning 40 years old, talk about a milestone, talk about an awakening that began to happen for me, is that I'm out on a walk with my beautiful and wonderful bride, Kim, and I say, you know what, I really got to make some changes in my life. And so I began to talk to her. Because what I was beginning to realize is that I was not being a good manager of my body. I was not taking good stewardship. Because that's really what it comes down to for ourselves, is that it's a stewardship issue. Meaning, I need to pay attention to my health and my fitness. 1 Corinthians 6:19, 20 says, "Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body." And that's the realization that I came to last October, is that I realized that I was not honoring God with my body. So 3 days after I turned 40, we're out on the walk, we start up this conversation, and I say, I need to make some changes. And she, like a good, loving, and supportive wife, says, "I know it, honey, and I believe in you." No, actually, what she said was, "I've heard you say all those things before. I'll believe it when I see it." And that's ultimately what she said. She didn't say it exactly like that. And it was true. And what she said was correct. I had said all those things before. I had made those kind of promises. I had said, I'm ready to change. But Kim knows exactly what I've always known, is that I will change when I have changed my way of thinking. I will make the changes when I'm ready to say enough is enough. So as soon as we got back from that walk, I went home and do the only thing I knew to do was have some accountability to get on that scale, first and foremost, to take those measurements that you need to, another accountability, and to take the dreaded before photos. You know what I'm talking about. Even right here, this is a before photo of me. This is the picture that was taken last October. Then a picture that was taken at the beginning of this year, 2020, and then one just a few days ago. As you'll notice, that's the same shirt, but it's a different guy in that shirt. See, what had happened was is I had gotten my weight all the way back up to 200. That photo of me from October of last year was 262 pounds. See, I was not in a good place mentally. I was not in a good place physically or even spiritually. But from that moment on, there was a couple of things that began to help me to remain focused that I want to share with you that I did. And this is not necessarily recommended by everyone, and this is not even something that I'm telling you to do every single day. But when we want to talk about our health, when we want to talk about our fitness, even when we talk about our spiritual life and our devotional life and our dedication to God, we have to start with a point is that where is the accountability? And so that's exactly what I did. From that moment on, I wasn't just writing it down haphazardly and every now and then. No, since last October to even now, the present, I have got up and I've held myself accountable, not only to my bride and to myself, but I've written my workouts down. I've written down my fitness. I've written down my weight. Maybe not every day, but almost every day, just to see what are the wins, what are the victories, what are the losses, what's going in and out of my body, and how is it reacting? And so I've used the scale as an accountability for me. That's been the number one thing. The second thing is that I resolved that every day that I would get up and be active in some way, form, or fashion. Whether it's walking or running, whether it's lifting weights or doing cardio, or even as simple just playing outside with my kids and being active every single day. Some days are more active than others. Some weeks are more active than others. Sometimes I'm doing challenges. Sometimes I'm just doing walks. But those are the two things that having a form of accountability to yourself and to someone else, and then also getting up and getting active, some type of exercise every single day. Because here are a few things that I have been learning on my journey that I want to share with you for better health. And there are three things that if we're going to be successful and have a healthy, successful lifestyle and be able to build that. And I want to emphasize that with us today is that really this is about changing your lifestyle. This is not a 30, 60, or 90-day diet plan. This is not just something you do for a short time. No, I want you to broaden, and God wants you to broaden your horizon that this is about life, right? This is not only your spiritual life, but your physical life as well. To think about it. And there are three things that I want to talk to you about today, and this can kind of help focus you. The first one is your dedication. How dedicated do you want to be to this? How dedicated do you want to be to the change that you want to make? Whether it's big change, whether it's small change, how dedicated do you want to be? The second one is how determined are you to push past this? See, that's the thing that I see when I journal and when I write down, when I see that today was a good workout or it wasn't a good workout, or today I did lose a pound or I didn't lose a pound, or maybe I gained, or maybe it's because there was three birthday parties in 1 week. But how do you know if you win or lose? Well, you gotta know what the score is. And so how determined are you, no matter what the score may have been the day before, the week before, or the month before, is that you're going to have determination, you're going to keep moving forward. The third one is resilience. See, resilience is that when you and I refuse to not give up, Failure is not final, comma, if you don't quit. Failure is not final if you don't quit. And so often, we quit. I just told you a little bit about my struggles and my times, and there was times where I'm doing great, I'm doing well, and then, bam, youth camp happens, and I eat a bunch of junk, and then I allow those bad habits, and I allow those bad things to come playing back into my life, and those ruts in my life, and I quit. See, how we continue to live a successful, healthy lifestyle is that we start living moment by moment and we submit to the process. Yes, there will be victories. Yes, there will be losses from day to day. But we have to keep the end in mind. We have to know, what is our goal? What is our vision? What is your health vision? What is your fitness vision? What is your why behind the what? Why are you doing it? What is driving you? Those are the questions that we have to answer for ourselves. Paul writes it this way in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 26. He says, don't you realize that everyone runs the race, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. You may be saying right now, Pastor Lance, I don't like running. It's a metaphor. But he says, all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade. So this is not about getting trophies. This is not about getting medals. He said, no, there is an eternal prize. So Paul states, he goes, so I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. There's training that's happening. There's spiritual training, there's disciplining in ourselves, and so often we take this particular passage and we apply it to our spiritual lives. But really, Paul is saying a lot that, hey, there is some training that happens. Athletes are disciplined. You and I can be disciplined so that we can run, that we can walk, we can have purpose in every step of our fitness and our health journey. This morning, I want to take a look at an Old Testament passage, and actually an Old Testament book, the book of Nehemiah. And I relate the story of Nehemiah to our health and fitness because it's so practical. So much of the rebuilding of Israel, so much of rebuilding of Judah, the surrounding area, and the city of Jerusalem, there was the spiritual aspect of it. There was the people aspect of it. But Nehemiah comes forward because there is a physical aspect that needed to be rebuilt. And I want to relate our health and fitness to Nehemiah and the story, because it also, just like back in last fall, last October, my journey began with a conversation and a realization that something needed to be done. Changes needed to happen. Enough was enough. And in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 3, some people came to Nehemiah, probably some family, some friends, and they reported to him and they said, things are not going well for those who return to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace, and the wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and its gates have been destroyed by fire. See, there's a reality that you and I face, and I want to point it out by beginning to use the story of Nehemiah and the rebuilding of the walls, that change will not happen until we're ready to make that change, until you can step up and say, and you assess that there is a problem, that things are in trouble, that some areas of your life have maybe had less attention, and maybe you even feel like they've been destroyed. It won't necessarily be easy. I'm not here to tell you today. Actually, my journey that has been a decade plus in trying to get my health and fitness under control and put it, instead of in a rut, to put it back into a groove. It has never been easy, but it has always been worth it. There are many times where I have felt like I am going uphill, that they have felt like there's this great resistance against me. And a lot of times it's been myself. It's been my own thinking. It's been my way of thinking and my own defeat, like running into the wind or walking against the wind. But can I encourage you this morning? Press on. Keep moving forward. Do another lap. Do another rep. Get up early one more time, or stay up just a little bit later. In the same way that I would encourage you to read one more Bible verse, to spend one more moment in God's presence. But this is also the moment where we realize that when Nehemiah hears this, he was saddened. When we hear and we're talking, and hopefully maybe it's your spouse or maybe it's a close friend, and you realize that, you know what, I need to make these changes, because I came to a realization last fall that I was not in a good place. I was saddened the way that I had let myself and my health come to that point. Because we realize that nothing changes until we want it to change. Nehemiah realized this, that something needed to be done about the walls, about the gates. Maybe today you realize, and maybe this is the Holy Spirit convicting you and God's presence is speaking to you, that you need to pay and give attention to your health and to your fitness. It's not me. It's not Pastor Lance. I'm not telling you to do that. I want you to strain this through, because when you realize that something is not right, which Nehemiah did, you know the first thing he does? He doesn't run. He doesn't try to get a plan together. No, he prays. He seeks. And he does that for a while. And after he prays, and after he fasts, and after he seeks God, he then begins to formulate a plan. He then begins to put it together. And not only does he grab a plan and start formulating all those things, but he begins to find people to support him. He gets the king on board. He then goes, and when he visits the city, when he visits the wreckage and the rubble, this is what happens in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17. When he begins to assess and rebuild the wall, before he even addresses and talks to the entire people and the entire crowd, Nehemiah 2:17, it says, "Now he said to them, 'You know very well what trouble we're in.'" When you realize something needs to happen, something needs to change. "See, Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire. Let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and end this disgrace." You and I, we've gained some things in quarantine. COVID-19 has allowed some things to creep in. And maybe not for all of us, but we all can take an opportunity to, in this moment, as we begin to re-enter into a normalcy of life and some new normals, we can begin to rebuild. We have this great opportunity. And we can, whatever you may have gained, you can begin to let it go. Whatever has come your way through COVID-19, we can begin to stop it right here and begin something new. Let's begin to take control and begin to make the changes that your future self, the future generations, will be proud of. See, I believe that, as I said earlier, that I think the reason why God brought me to this story is because it is so practical. There's so much practicality when it comes to rebuilding walls and putting in that work and banding together as a community and supporting each other, to giving attention to the areas that lie in ruins in our life. Obviously, today we're talking about our physical life, but there's so much of it for our mental capacity as well. Like giving attention, taking time out, getting rest. And the same goes to our spiritual life as well. Because there are also that there will be naysayers that come and they stand against you. As you continue in the book of Nehemiah and along the story of him rebuilding the walls, and even though he's been given permission by the king and he's begun to gather the people around him and he's inspiring the people to make these changes, there are people that say, you don't have the right to do this. Who are you, Nehemiah, a cupbearer to the king, to come and to inspire the people? And in Nehemiah chapter 4, there are those who would come and verbally attack him, but then they would also come and they would want to physically come and attack him. But Nehemiah would begin to fortify those areas, and he would gather the families and he would gather the clans and he would put them in places and he would set up safeguards and schedules, and he would put the things in the place where that would help him to focus. And even through all of that, even when he was putting hammers in one hand and spears in the other, and he was equipping the people in such a way to continue to complete the work, they would still come after him, and they would even still try to distract him. And this is what happens in Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. So Sanballat and Geshem sent a message asking Nehemiah, to meet them in the villages in the plain of Ono. But I realized they were plotting to harm me. So I replied by sending this message to them. I'm engaged in a great work, so I can't come. Why should I stop working and come and meet with you? Isn't that what happens so many times? Like I said, we oftentimes the beginning of the year, we're so excited. We get ramped up and then we get distracted. And normally, March, April, June, July, which is when we start to tail off. But man, COVID-19 has even maybe distracted us and taken our focus off of maybe what your fitness goals were or your health goals or your mental goals that you want. But can I tell you today that even there is liberation in what Nehemiah tells them. The reason why he can't, he says, no, I'm engaged in a great work. This not only applies to our spiritual life and our disciplined life there, but also in our physical health and fitness life. No, I can't go out to eat with you this week. Or we're going to prioritize our family meals, or we're going to do things a little bit different. Because there is power in the word no. And that two-letter word, it can help protect you. See, Nehemiah knew they were going to cause harm. And not necessarily if your friends are inviting you to this party or to that party or that hangout or to this get-together. But it may derail you. It may take you off your focus. It may maybe defeat you. But this little word, no, I can't come right now. I can't be engaged in that. I can't do this, that, or the other. It can help protect you and it can keep you focused. And it doesn't mean this is a forever no. But it does mean right now in my journey, because I got goals, I got vision, I got some things that I want to accomplish. See, Nehemiah was focused and he knew he wanted to accomplish. And he goes, no, I can't stop. I'm doing a great work. I can't stop working right now to do this and to come and meet you. Because you're building walls, you're building foundation, you're repairing things in your life that have been left in ruin and destroyed for way too long. The Apostle Paul reminds us, and when he reminds Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:8, see, physical training is good, right there. Physical training is good. It doesn't say you have to go get involved in CrossFit. You don't have to become a bodybuilder. No, that's some physical training, but training for godliness is better. Amen. That's right. Promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. I think that that's a whole package deal right there, that scripture. We don't just skip over the physical training, but that we include it in our day-to-day lives. And knowing that training for godliness is much better. See, we can hold on to what we've gained, or we can let it go. Let go of the bad habits. Let go of the hang-ups. Let's let go of the weight that may have come because you had too many quarantine snacks. The Apostle Paul also encourages us in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection. I raise my hand and testify that. I'm not here today sharing this message again, as I said earlier, because I have achieved anything. I'll read that opening line again in the scripture. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, Paul says. He says, but I press on to the process that perfection for which Christ first possessed me. See, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what is ahead. What is your why? What is your vision? What is your plan for your health and fitness? He says, I press on to reach the end of the race to receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. As I close up today in this message, and yes, it's been kind of a sensitive subject for us. Talk about health, talk about fitness is not maybe something that we always talk about from the platform or in church, but it is an importance that God wants to give us because our bodies are on loan. Let's raise our awareness, let's raise our stewardship of it. Be reminded of what Paul just told us when he wrote to the Philippians is that we can forget about the past. Just like I have not always been a great steward. I have not always given the best attention to my health and fitness, even my own self. And yes, I was a little vulnerable today. Those are not pictures that I want to share with everyone everywhere, but I want to encourage you with that today is that you can do it. You can be an overcomer, not only with God's help and the Holy Spirit living inside of you, helping you with dedication, determination, and resilience, but also we can begin to be a community together. I want to invite you starting this Tuesday night, June 9th, to come and be a part of Faith and Fitness. And really what that's only going to look like right now as we begin, as we still have a level of social distancing, is that we're just going to run or walk together. We're going to grow together. We're going to learn together. We'll stretch each other. We'll go further, faster together. But I want to invite you to come and be a part of that. If you'd like to join a community that will also help you be accountable and encouraging. Because that's really what church is all about. It's about encouraging one another. It's about building each other up. And it's about coming alongside and helping rebuild some areas in our lives that we've allowed to lie in ruin. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you so much for your word. Lord, this is not an easy message by any means. But Lord, it is an area that we want to give attention to. Our health and our fitness. And so, Lord, thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, I pray as we take a look at the example of Nehemiah and the rebuilding and the repairing and of the walls and the gates, Lord, is because, Lord, we need to give attention to those areas. And you're wanting to rebuild and you're wanting to restore and you're wanting to bring back in light of being able to continue on for current and future generations, for our families, for our communities, for our brothers and sisters in Christ, that we then can continue to do a greater calling, which is share the gospel message, which is share the good news about Jesus Christ and the work that he is doing in each and every one of our lives. Thank you so much, Lord, for this challenge, because, Lord, I know that you're challenging me to continue to stay focused and to live a life that honors you in your mighty name. Amen.